Glad that you are here. This is the last lesson that we're looking at in how to say no to a stubborn habit, and I just want us to review where we have been. We've looked at why is there so much temptation. Well, part of it is from God, a test of our loyalty, also to make sure that our passions have been transformed, and it is another reason God gives us strength in the midst of our weakness, and we're able to see His strength. Lesson number two, which Pastor Jeremy brought, the ground rules were established. We must believe that God is good, even though we have difficulties. We must accept that we are fully responsible for our own behavior. I cannot say the devil made me do it. And I must believe also that deliverance from my stubborn habit, the sins that easily beset us, I must believe that that deliverance is possible. Thirdly, putting our past behind us, we have a tendency as human beings to let the past come back and clobber us, and especially with our own guilt. But we understand that guilt brings consequences, and guilt can be handled the right way by right biblical principles. The guilt of the past that clobbers me can be completely done away with by meditating on Jesus Christ and His cross, and it's by accepting God's grace. Lesson number four, I need to get God's perspective about my temptations and my habits. And those temptations are I need to face the issues, that I may have some other unresolved issues that are incidental or more than incidental, that really it's a root that really brings up the situation that I am in. Perhaps a person who struggles with a particular habit has never really resolved a great thing that happened to them even as a child a number of years ago. And that's what we're talking about. There may be other unresolved issues. B, God wants to accomplish some things, and that is He wants real repentance out of me, in which it is heartfelt and sincere. And part of that answer is He wants to draw me close to Himself. If I am trying to solve the problems and the situations of life without being drawn closer to God, it will end up being in failure. See, I need to also get a larger focus, that temptation represents our getting closer to God Himself. The lesser the temptation, that means I've got to be drawing close to God. Lesson number five, the freedom of living at the cross, the necessity of knowing Jesus as Savior, but also not just being saved, but living my Christian life. He is my source for the source of my temptation is my sinful human flesh, but God's solution is Jesus and His cross. Knowing Him, meditating on Him, thinking about Him, really getting to know Him. Just reviewing that lesson briefly. Number six, the power of the Holy Spirit. I receive the Spirit's power at salvation, but I'm to live by His power every day in a right relationship with God. How do I do that? In His Word. It's the Spirit's sword. I pray and trust and rely on Him to enable me in the midst of temptation, and I also live a life of praise to Him. Lesson number seven, I have got to be renewing my mind. Again, it's the Spirit's sword. I need to prepare for battle every day and use the artillery of the Word of God. I cannot live by my feelings. Excellent lesson. All of the lessons Pastor Jeremy gives were very, very good, but this one especially stuck by me, perhaps because I have a tendency to live by my feelings. Maybe some of the rest of us struggle with that as well. I cannot live by my feelings. It will bring pitfalls. And there's an example of Jesus Himself who had feelings but rose above His feelings. And we can be conformed to His image. Lesson number nine, I must tame my will. My will is what I choose and what I want to do. How do I change my will? I've got to be setting goals in my life, and I can lessen the conflict of the temptation and the struggle by the power of habit and choosing right habits, new habits every day. For some of us, perhaps, who have been out of sorts with God, this is the first thing that came to my mind. Even just going to church can be a chore. But for many people, and I'll never forget Brother Ron Eamon, when we first moved out here 17 years ago, he mentioned about the Rick Edelman family. One, I'm not setting himself up as a perfect example. We're not perfect in any of us, but Ron Eamon did say the one thing, you can always count on the Edelmans. They will always be here at the church services. Now, you get to hear Brother Rick's testimony. A number of years ago, it wasn't like that for him. But he was in the habit of not being at church. But he put into practice another habit so that now this other habit, that's a good habit, overrode. Okay, overrode the other bad habits that were there. In other words, what I'm saying, that's just one illustration. Perhaps some of us have some habits. We have to, in our will, set some goals by God's grace. Now understand, I'm not trying to say living the Christian life is purely our own human determinism. We have a bunch of other lessons that focuses on God, but we cannot eliminate our personal responsibility for our wills and our choices that we make. Lesson number 10, the intercession of Jesus Christ, relying and stopping and think about he's praying for me, and I've got to be getting other believers to praying for me as well. Being accountable with them. Lesson 11, resisting satanic activity. Satan's target is always our mind. There is a battle, whether I like it or not. And in the battle, I'm to release the word of God's power by submitting to its authority. Just because we do lessons 1 through 11 doesn't mean we won't get trapped again, as Pastor Jeremy brought up this past Sunday. What do I do with that? I stop and I think, God wants to teach us some things in the midst of those failures, and I need to stop and think and look, beware of the signposts of failure. This study, though, is really an incomplete study unless it is applied. We must not only know the truth, we must also do it. Jesus concludes his Sermon on the Mount with an illustration. One person who hears what I say but doesn't do it is like a man who built his house on the what? On the sand, and the winds came, the storms came, and great was the fall of that house. But a person who hears my sayings and does them builds the exact same kind of house, the exact same plumbing, exact same cornicing, exact same materials. It looks identical to the one who built his house on the sand, but this man, because he does it, is building his house on a rock. It also says in James 1, 22 to 25, another message Pastor Jeremy preached on a Sunday night a few Sundays ago, the necessity of us not just hearing, as we so often do, we must be doing and implementing as well. Point B, something I've said many times before, most of us do not need more truth than what we already have. Most of us, we really don't need more. We need to start weaving into the fabric of our life the truth that we already know, stopping and thinking on how to do that. And you will decide how the study will end and how we deal with temptation. From this day on, we are deciding on what we're dealing with temptation and how we implement the study. Can I encourage us concerning a journal, writing the last chapter the right way? Get a notebook and write to God in this notebook some things about your Christian life, where you used to be, failures or successes. Some of the greatest Christians of the past have been people who have journaled, writing down thoughts, and those thoughts, going back and reviewing them. I would encourage you to get a notebook, write what you used to be, write where you are, what are your desires, what you want God to do in your life, but also writing where you want to be next month, next year, in the 5 years. Can I encourage you where you want to be, not just financial goals, because that's not really what we're talking about. Although financial goals are fine, let's focus on character qualities especially, the characteristics of Jesus Christ that he wants to develop in our life. And can I encourage you to write an outline of your strategy of the steps on how you're going to get there, what you need to do to get there. Obviously, in rehearsing some of the things, that means beginning each day with God, with a prayer, and also in his word. And what we do with his word, writing observations we make from scripture and passages of scripture on which we're going to be meditating, recording lessons that reach you there in scripture. I don't necessarily have a journal, I probably should, but I have a Bible in which I am writing continuously in the margins, underlining things, drawing connections between the things, writing in margins, writing so small that sometimes I can't even read it. So what's the benefit, right? I may as well get a journal book. But I love doing that so that this Bible becomes especially helpful to me and is a part of me, in which God has dealt with me on almost every passage of Scripture from Genesis to Revelation. Would encourage a journal, or if you have a Bible with a nice, large, wide margin, doing something like that. Can I encourage you in your journal to anticipate and write the ways in which you think Satan will most easily prevent you from accomplishing these things? For some of us, it may be sleeping in too much. For others, watching too much television or an inordinate amount, or that certain television program that can bring your thoughts down. It may be the use of the media. Again, I'm not downing cell phones. I have them and I text as well. Or Facebook. It could be any number of things that Satan could use, good things, to distract us. Also, can I encourage you to write down specific prayer requests that you have for yourself as well as for others? Write down the answers to prayer. That is an encouragement. Would also encourage you to write down the providences of God in your life. When you see God at work doing something unusual, you don't understand, but then in the end, he turns it around and you see. Write those things. It encourages your faith for the future. A book like this, writing like that, really serious focus on your spiritual life in a way like that, that can be a monument of God's faithfulness in your own life. Paul says of the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians 3, you are our book that's read of all people. You and I, dear friends, God has the plan of victory, but you and I write the last chapter in our lives of what we choose to do with God's offering victory to us over our stubborn habits. May we choose the right way.